Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. We are back with you here on a Sunday evening, going through God's Word and doing some teaching and some reflection. And if you were with us last week, which I'm sure you were, we did Pentecost, since it was the Feast of Pentecost, which was the Hebrew Feast of Shavuot, which we know as Pentecost from the Greek word for 50 days. And we know that that was the day that the Holy Spirit fell on 120 people in the upper room.
Yes.
And things drastically changed when that happened. And many people refer to this as the day the church was born, because what happened, and we're going to get into that today, what happened after this outpouring of the Spirit was that this formerly scared, sorry bunch of people, they were hiding and didn't know what was going on, and
that's
were
true.
Waiting for the kingdom to be restored. And
that is true.
Waiting to get a government job in Jerusalem, suddenly went out and started preaching under the inspiration of the Spirit, and their hearts and minds and voices were full of the Spirit, and they caused actually quite a ruckus that day. And a lot of people that listened to Peter and to the others literally had their lives changed within about the first 20 minutes of this happening.
Yes.
And it wasn't just a normal Sunday morning in Jerusalem.
No.
And yeah. And
quite the contrary.
Right. And as we talked about before, Jesus had told these guys, don't leave the city, don't do anything, because in a very few days, the Spirit's going to come. So that's why they went in the upper room. They were praying. They were together. The scripture says they were of one accord. It's great when brothers dwell together.
Amen.
Psalm 133.
Amen.
Steve could sing a song about that, but we don't really have time to do the song.
We don't.
Oh, did you bring your guitar?
No. It's at home.
But the song is called Hinei Matov.
Yeah, that's
it's an awesome song. But they were of one accord, praying. When the Holy Spirit falls, we went over that. You all know the account of Pentecost. And I think it's neat to remember that each person there was touched by the Spirit with a visible flame over their heads.
Yes.
120 flames over 120 people.
Yes.
It wasn't just like one big fire or one big thing. Each person. So each person had gifts poured out on them.
Yes.
And the gifts later on, St. Paul is going to write, because St. Paul at this point is not thinking about the Holy Spirit. He's a Pharisee. But later on, he's going to write that the gifts are given for the building up of the body. Each person there got a gift.
Yeah, he wasn't into the this Holy Spirit, Jesus resurrection thing yet.
No.
That was a little bit later on. But, you know, as you're laying out the beginning of the teaching here, one thing that comes to mind is that musically, and God gives me a lot of things to talk about musically because I play music.
Yeah, me too.
You're an excellent singer in the minor chords.
Oh, how many different kind of chords are there?
There's not enough time for that stuff.
Okay.
So anyway, if you think about an orchestra, when an orchestra warms up, it sounds really bad.
Yes.
Because everybody's doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all practicing scales. They're doing something that's constructive because they need to warm up to play. And when you say that the apostle or the people in the upper room were all of one accord, one mind, one heart, when a symphony starts playing under the conductor, it's beautiful music because they're all playing together.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's an example that God has shown me several times to speak to actually musicians who want to go and do their own thing and not really be part of the group, even though they're part of the group. Not referring to anybody that I know, but it happens from time to time. And I think it's a good example because if anybody's heard a symphony and they've heard them warm up, it just sounds awful.
Yes.
But once they start to play under the conductor, wow, What a difference.
Yeah.
And that being of one accord, that's what I always think of now when I hear this, is that that example that the Lord showed me one time. So as they were praying, they're praying of one accord, the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and their lives and the rest of the world dramatically changes.
Yeah. I mean, this was really a dramatic event.
Oh,
there was
yeah.
a rushing wind.
Everybody heard it.
Fire,
it was
yes.
there.
And everybody, and apparently everybody through the city heard it because yeah. a whole bunch of people came over mm-hmm. and said, what's going on over there?
Is that a jet plane? What's going
yeah.
on?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't even near the airport.
No.
But they heard this rushing wind, and we talked about why all these Jews were there, because Pentecost, Shavuot, is one of the pilgrimage feasts.
Right.
And so this is why, in fact, we're going to have Steve read that again in a minute, but this is why all these people were there, and it tells us that they were all from all these different places, because these were all Jewish men who went to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage feast, because they were following the law.
Right.
And a lot of them had flown in from a lot of different places. You know, a lot of these people were in the diaspora. And it wasn't that easy to get to Jerusalem in those days, but you got to give these guys some credit that they got over there.
It's amazing.
Every, yeah.
I mean, these were pilgrimage feasts, and yeah. everybody went.
That's right. And from they took a shuttle from the airport, and next thing they knew, they were in downtown Jerusalem.
They did not.
Oh.
a chariot of fire?
Yeah. That would have been awesome.
That would have been.
But anyway, so they were there. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't just randomly come on this day. He comes on a day where he knows there's going to be people there to listen to Peter, because he's going to turn Peter into an evangelist,
mm-hmm.
like real quickly. Up to this point, he hasn't been in much of an evangelist.
No.
And, yeah, well, we won't go into that again. But if you listen to the last few shows. But this event changes him. His heart is transformed. His mind is transformed. He's a different Peter.
Yes.
We can't really call him our friend Peter anymore, because now he's on fire Peter. And so are the others.
He's doing all the right things. He's saying all the right things. And he's...
Exactly. And he's cutting people to the heart, as we're going to read.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to, before we get into this, Steve, why don't you read, we're in Acts chapter 2, if you want to get your Bibles out. Let's hear those pages flipping. How about verses 5 through 13? You can read all those place names.
Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each one of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered, and said to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others said scoffingly, 'They have had too much new wine.'"
That's pretty cool. You know, this kind of reminds me, whenever there's a group of people somewhere, whether they're listening to a preaching, teaching, whether they're worshiping, anything that they're doing, there's a group of people that say, "Wow, what's happening here? This is really amazing." And there's another group of people that says, "Eh, these guys are just drunk."
Mm-hmm.
Or like I used to say, "Oh, these guys are just wackos."
Yeah.
And, there's, you know, there's always the two groups.
Yeah. In every setting, you're going to find people that are going to hear it.
Yeah.
And then people, they're in the same setting.
That's right.
But they're not paying attention.
That's right.
And there's some, you know, they're into something else.
Yes. And when you see those, pictures, you know, when Billy Graham's talking to a stadium full of people.
Right.
There's some of them that are saying, "Wow, this is great." And they jump out of their seat and run down. And there's some that are saying, "What's this guy talking about? Okay, it's Billy Graham. Okay, so I saw him. Let's go. Can we go home now?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not really receiving what's
right,
being
right.
What's being given.
Yeah, and so to show you how exciting of a time this must have been, people say, "Oh, they're drunk." So they must have been acting a little bit weird.
A lot weird.
Yeah. They're not acting like your typical Galilean fisherman. They're not acting like your typical Pharisee who walks around stiff.
Mm-hmm.
They're not acting like your typical anybody because they've just been filled with the Spirit.
Right.
They've literally just been baptized in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I had this idea in my head, you know, they were praising and they were singing and they were worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other people are going, whoa, what's with these guys? And they say, oh, they're drunk. You know, they're just drunk. And, you know, Peter then explains it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So even we even know what time it happened, 9 o'clock in the morning,
right,
which is kind of neat. But this outpouring of the Spirit has totally changed these guys,
right?
Even how they behave. We never heard in the scriptures before of any of these guys dancing around and speaking in tongues and singing and worshiping and praising. I mean, that's
no
hasn't happened yet, but now they're euphoric. And for those of you that have experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and Stephen and I both have experienced that,
right?
I'm happy to say, and I hope that,
amen, I am too.
And for those of you who have, you know what we're talking about. For those of you that haven't, I hope someday you will experience it, but it's very difficult to describe in words what exactly happens.
Yeah, it is, because there's, you know, as I experienced it, there was this embrace, this embrace of God's love that just went from head to toe,
yeah,
from, you know, limb to limb. I mean, my whole being just was filled with this outpouring of God's love.
Yeah.
That it was so deep,
mm,
and it was such a peaceful,
mm-hmm,
there was so much peace and there was so much joy and there was just, and as I'm trying to describe it, I'm realizing it's indescribable because there's not enough words in our language even describe it.
That's right.
And this is what, it's the power of God. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit is that love that exists, mm-hmm, between the Father, mm-hmm, and the Son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when we're immersed into, which is what baptism means, you're immersed.
Mm-hmm.
When we're immersed into the Father's love, or that love that exists between the Father and the Son.
Right.
It is a radically transforming event, yes, in anybody's life.
Yes.
And what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit was just poured out upon the disciples who were in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else was going to witness
this. Uh-huh, exactly.
Not everybody that was there received this all at once.
Exactly.
But just those disciples, yeah.
And just when it happened to me, and it's been probably about 13 or 14 years now, I was sitting in a chair, and after a whole bunch of things happened, I remember a woman saying to me, now, don't get up right away. And I got up out of the chair, and I was literally staggering around a big room.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why people thought these guys were drunk. And I remember somebody saying, oh, we have refreshments over here. And I thought to myself, refreshments? I don't care about refreshments. I feel great doing it. And, you know, I was like literally staggering around the room.
Yeah.
And then even a while later, I got into my car and left this particular church. And when I pulled out of the parking lot, I turned the wrong direction. And instead of heading home, I was heading away. And then a few minutes later, I thought, where am I? But see, if a policeman would have pulled me over, he might have said, oh, this guy's drunk.
Exactly.
Just like these guys.
And your GPS said recalculating?
No, I didn't have GPS in those days. Okay. I would have been happy to take a breathalyzer test. It would have been totally negative.
But what you're describing, what I'm describing, is what people experience when they receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, and I'm trying to remember, I can't remember exactly where it was at, but that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is described as this embrace of God's love.
Mm.
You know, it's just this divine hug that God gives us.
Yeah.
And it's such a precious gift and a beautiful gift that we then, like you and I and anybody else has received it, can tell, you go out and you want to proclaim what God's done for you.
Oh, yes, exactly. You don't keep it to yourself.
No, you don't.
Like these guys.
Exactly. No, you can't keep it to yourself. It's just impossible to.
Yeah. So I can see where somebody standing there would look and say, these guys are drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's 9 o'clock in the morning, but these guys have been up drinking all night.
Well, you know, if you talk to somebody, now I happen to be sharing with someone what happened, and they were looking at me and just like with a strange look like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
What are you taking?
Yeah.
You know, just a total disbelief. And they said, look, you know, sometimes there's really emotional things that go on.
Yeah.
And they were attempting to talk me out of this blessing that God gave. And I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, but that's somebody who wasn't prepared to receive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly. He thought you were drunk.
Yeah, he thought I was drunk.
And now our newly transformed friend, Peter. Now, this is really cool because now Peter takes charge. In fact, we don't know what the other one's doing. I mean, there's 119 other people.
Right.
Mary's there. Jesus' mother is there. All the apostles are there. A whole bunch of other people who we don't know because, of course, they're not named mm-hmm. were there. But Peter's the only one we have a record of what he does.
He got all the attention.
He got all the attention. So, well, he was in charge. Yeah. So he's the one who goes out in front of these people. Some of them are amazed. Some of them are wondering what's going on. Some of them are scoffing. And he says, there's a scriptural explanation for what's happened here. We don't know what the other ones are doing because only Peter's sermon is recorded. But he says, I'm going to tell you from the scriptures what's happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, already we can tell this is a different Peter than we've known.
Totally.
Peter didn't generally quote scriptures. He mostly just talked. And now he's so different. He wasn't thinking about what he was doing before. He wasn't thinking about when he denied Christ. He wasn't thinking about the things that happened before. He wasn't thinking about the weaknesses. He wasn't thinking about the times Jesus took him aside and said, get behind me, Satan, or listen, Peter, or let me tell you something.
Right.
Or
you're thinking as a human being
yes,
does, not God.
You're going to deny me three times before the morning. I mean, none of that was in his head now,
mm-hmm.
because now he's going to quote the scriptures. He's going to confess Christ. And it says he stood up to say this. We're going to read in a second. You know, in fact, why don't you read that now? Because it's interesting about how he stands up. Read like the next, read like 14 through 16.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, you who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
Yeah. So he stands up. Now, in the ancient world, in Jewish culture, in the Greek culture that we know about too, some of the other places, the person who was the teacher, the person who was the authority person, when they usually sat and taught, but when they stood up, it was, okay, now I'm going to tell you something really important.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one with the authority, and he stands up, and he says, this that you're seeing here comes from the scripture. But first, we're going to have to hear some music.
Ooh.
Ooh, we're taking our first break here on the Gift of Grace. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org, and search for us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
They lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Then everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go
up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Arise and shake the earth so mightily. Send your glory all across the land. Let everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. To the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day. Flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade. Shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, fill the whole body with fire.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're talking about Peter standing up and kind of confronting these scoffers. You know, these guys are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The third hour is 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. Nobody's drunk this early in the morning unless they're just totally whacked out alcoholics who have been drinking all night.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of them had a Bloody Mary at breakfast, but none of them are drunk. No, they didn't have Bloody Marys at breakfast. Anyway, and he preaches to them directly. Now, remember, you know, we talked a couple of shows ago about how Jesus gave them the Great Commission.
Right.
So now Peter launches right into it.
All of everything that Jesus has talked about
yes.
has just come to pass.
Exactly. Wait here. Promise my Father's coming. Then you're going to go to all these places. Then you're going to go to the whole world. So now Peter becomes Mr. Great Commission,
yep.
at least until Paul comes. But right now he's Mr. Great Commission, and he's directly preaching to these guys. And this is a really good example about what we have to do.
Yes.
Even in the 21st century, we're almost 2,000 years after this happened, and we still have to do the same thing. Because we still, under the inspiration of the Spirit, have to preach to the people around us that are scoffers.
Yes.
And Peter preaches from the scriptures. He doesn't get involved in any kind of, you know, seeker-friendly kind of sermon, or he doesn't preach to them. He doesn't take up a collection. He doesn't say, you know, we're going to need some money to get this ministry started. Although if you want to send some money to Gift of Grace Ministries, you can go to the website.
Anyway.
he starts to preach from Joel chapter 2. And he says, what's happened here, the prophet Joel talked about. The prophet Joel wrote about. And this is in Joel chapter 2. We're going to have Stephen read verses 28 to 32. And you're all going to know this verse, these verses. Go ahead.
28:32.
Joel 2.
Joel 2, 28 to 32. I don't see it.
You lost Joel chapter 2?
No, I have Joel chapter 2. What am I seeing here?
Maybe it's not 28 to 32.
No, it can't be because it only goes up to 27.
Oh. Okay. So much for my notes.
There
but
you
anyway,
go.
Find words where Joel talks about...
The day approaches?
Yes.
Blow a horn in Zion?
Well, it talks about how...
Oh, the return of the Lord? No.
The Spirit is going to fall...
let's see here.
On, you know, your old men will... be visions and the young men will have dreams. And anyway, it's in Joel chapter 2 somewhere. And, you know, he says the prophet Joel prophesied this. And is before that this spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh. And under that same inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is what happened. This is what you've seen happen here this morning, because that same spirit has been poured out on these people that you see here. And he directs this to the men that are in Judea, to the Jews who are dwelling in Jerusalem, and those that are visiting in Jerusalem, and those that are Gentiles who have come into Judaism. He directs this message to him, to them, and basically tells them that this spirit has been poured out and we're now in a new dispensation. We're not in the dispensation of the Mosaic law now. Did you find it? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at chapter 3. Maybe your Bible didn't have a chapter 3 break. That's probably it. Kind of, what version do you have over there?
Go ahead.
Anyway, it shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even upon your male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will set signs in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and the columns of smoke. The sun will darken and the moon turn blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, that great and terrible day, then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will escape harm. For on Mount Zion there will be a remnant, as the Lord has said, and in Jerusalem, survivors whom the Lord will summon.
Now, in the version I'm using here, there is a Joel 2:28-32, which is what you just read.
Okay.
Somebody put the chapter breaks in a different place.
Okay.
Who was that guy in the Middle Ages who did that?
No. I don't know.
Anyway.
Probably Constantine.
Sorry about that. Yeah, he did everything.
He was.
Anyway. So, in other words, I shouldn't be laughing because this is like an awesome thing he just read. You know,
yeah.
My spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh.
Exactly.
Okay? Peter says, this is what you've seen here today. You've seen the spirit poured out on flesh. Now, it's going to be all flesh, which means it isn't just going to be you guys in Jerusalem. It isn't just going to be you guys in Israel. It's not going to be just you Jews that are in the diaspora. It's going to be poured out on all flesh. It doesn't say all Jewish flesh. It doesn't say on just the Jews. It says it's going to be poured out on all flesh. This is what you've seen happen here today. And it says that your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. People are going to get gifts of prophecy. People are going to have dreams. People are going to have visions. You know, the Spirit's going to be poured out. There's going to be wonders. All these things are going to happen in the name of the Lord before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but the prophet Joel has prophesied this 500 years before this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is gone now. He's not here in his earthly form. His physical body is not here.
Right.
You guys didn't want to hear him while he was here, but now you're going to listen to me because I'm going to tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to listen to Jesus for the most part. Most of them left. But now they're listening to Peter. So he says, listen to what I'm telling you. Now, the way that Peter says this, the wording, the expression, you know, the kind of the grammar that he uses, is not like the Peter we used to know.
No.
This is a beautiful speech. It's a beautiful teaching. And he doesn't have notes. He doesn't have a PowerPoint. He doesn't have any kind of teleprompter.
No.
No, he doesn't even have, he's not reading this out of a notebook. The Holy Spirit's fallen. He's come out here a few minutes, a half hour later, and he's preaching this gospel. He hasn't had time to, he's preaching this word. He hasn't had time to put it all together.
Wow.
He hasn't had time to research it. He doesn't have any commentaries on
off the
book.
The cuff.
Yes, no commentaries on the book of Acts, because the Holy Spirit, first of all, is no book of Acts, and secondly,
it wasn't written yet, was it?
No.
Wow, that's amazing.
But the Holy Spirit put the commentary right in his brain, and he does this unrehearsed, unprepared, just filled with the Spirit. And he says this is going to happen. The prophet Joel says this is going to happen in the last days. Now, we all know we're in the last days, and, you know, we're maybe in the last of the last days, but we're not going to get into that. But the term last days refers to the time after Messiah comes.
Right.
We're in the last days. You know, even the book of Hebrews says, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son.
Yeah.
The last days means the time after Messiah. We're in a dispensation of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter's pointing out that the Spirit's going to be poured out in full measure now.
Right.
All flesh is going to have it. This is it. Mm-hmm. And this is what you've seen happen here. The Old Testament prophets, of course, they're under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The authors of the scriptural books, of course, were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Moses wrote 5 books under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All the prophets, all the Tanakh, the Old Testament, which is all they had here, was all written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But now the Holy Spirit's poured out in a much more powerful way,
mm-hmm.
in full measure, and it's going to be on all flesh, including Gentiles. He's going to be poured out on all different kinds of people, different social ranks, educational ranks. It's not going to matter if you're a Levitical priest or if you're the street sweeper. It's not going to matter whether you're a farmer or whether you're a computer scientist. No matter what you are, the Holy Spirit's poured out. There's no order of society where the Pharisees are going to get it, but the people down here are not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's across the board. And it's going to be male and female, sons and daughters.
Right.
We don't hear a lot in the Old Testament about females prophesying. There are some.
Right.
But now men and women are both going to have it, sons and daughters. There's going to be revelation. There's going to be prophecy. This is the kingdom of the Messiah. Now we're in the kingdom because when Jesus comes, when Messiah comes, the kingdom breaks in. He explained to them, now the kingdom is here. He talked about the kingdom is here. They didn't get that. And then a little last week we talked about how they said, well, are you going to restore the kingdom now?
Mm-hmm.
Or the week before, whenever it was.
Right.
And they said, no, you guys don't get this.
Right.
Now he gets it. Now he gets it because the kingdom has broken in. This is the kingdom of Messiah. And now all these things are happening under the power of the Holy Spirit.
And as you're talking about that, what I'm thinking about here is that all this took place in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about going back to John the Baptist when he was saying, I am not worthy to untie his, mm-hmm. the strap of his sandals, mm-hmm. but one mightier than I is coming and he's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so relatively in a short period of time, you were talking about that the book of Joel prophesied about this 500 years before the birth of Messiah. And within this 33, 35 year mm-hmm. span of time, all of this is fulfilled.
Yes, exactly.
You know, when you think about the length of time in the Old Testament, there's 14 generations between, Adam and David, and then mm-hmm. is it 14 between David and
the exile. 14 between, no wait, it's 14 between Abraham and David.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Abraham and David.
David to the exile.
I said Adam, yeah. No,
then it's 14 Abraham. From then to Jesus.
Right. And that's a long period of time.
All 14s.
But 33 years, 34 years is not a very mm-hmm. long period of time.
That's right.
Looking at this.
Exactly.
So all this happened in someone's lifetime.
They've been through 52 generations of people.
Right.
And now within one generation, all these things have happened.
Right.
And John the Baptist as the last prophet,
mm-hmm.
as the Elijah-like transition from Old Testament to New Testament, really sets this rolling.
Yeah. And you know, you're talking about the Spirit was upon the Old Testament prophets.
Yeah.
But it wasn't poured out upon everyone.
Right. Exactly.
And this is the you know, just a stark contrast, the big difference of what we're seeing happening here that was prophesied in Joel and now has come to fulfillment that everyone's going to receive the Spirit who God chooses to pour it out upon.
Yeah. in the Old Testament, the prophets had the Spirit, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The men who wrote books had the Spirit. They had the inspiration. There were prophecies that were made. There were revelations that were given. These are all, of course, under the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But now it's poured out on all flesh. It doesn't matter what you are. Even if you're not a prophet, even if you're nobody, the Holy Spirit can be poured out on you.
Yeah.
It's going to be on all flesh. It's full measure. And this is prophesied by Joel as happening in the last days.
Yeah. And that's the amazing thing, that God chooses whom he wills.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen it in my life that there's times where somebody's speaking a word of God and I see people looking at them like, what do they know?
Oh, yes.
I go, wow.
Well, yeah.
You still see it.
Yeah. And then Peter's probably thinking ahead to the next chapter of that when the Pharisees are going to say, these guys aren't even educated. What are they talking about? Because you wouldn't expect a couple of fishermen from Galilee to be standing in the middle of the Sanhedrin saying, okay, listen, you guys, here's what's going on.
Right. They don't take too kindly to that.
No.
We've already talked about that.
No. And, yeah. But it's pretty neat, this, and we really need this today. We need a bold proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah, we do.
Because the gospel's been hijacked into social concerns and be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
The gospel's been kind of molded into a weird tolerance where everything is okay. Everything is acceptable.
Yeah. We like to sanitize things.
Yes.
And put it into a nice, neat little package.
That's right.
And
we don't want people to be upset or offended.
Exactly.
And Peter, at this point, he's preaching this from Joel chapter 2. He doesn't care who's offended.
Speaking the truth.
Yes, because it's not about him. He's going to tell him really good in a minute.
And see, what you just said there is really important, because if we start worrying about someone being offended,
right,
if we're proclaiming the gospel in love and speaking it in truth, then that's what we have to do.
Exactly.
That's what we're called to do.
Right.
If we don't do that, the church will not, the mission of the apostles will cease to be.
That's right.
The commissioning will cease to be, because if we start speaking other than the truth, where are people going to get the truth from?
That's right. We are still operating in the Great Commission.
Yes.
It didn't end when the last apostle John died on, you know, Isle of Patmos, and that was the end of the Great Commission.
Right.
It's been going on ever since then.
Exactly. Yeah.
And to the point where we are in our world and in our culture, it's even more important now than it was 100 years ago. Because the world has slid back into a much darker time.
Yeah.
And we have to confront that, and we have to preach the gospel. And if somebody doesn't like you, well, too bad.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about the gospel.
And, you know, Peter spoke with them in truth. I mean, he wasn't preaching fire and brimstone. There was there was a truth.
Yes.
And then there was an invitation to the grace.
There was no condemnation in it.
Right. There was no condemnation in it. He spoke the truth. This Jesus whom you crucified, God raised them up.
Yep.
And that cut them to the heart.
Yes.
What are we to do?
Exactly.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yes. And he points out how, because Joel says this is the end time, this was a result of Jesus was Messiah. He died, he rose, he ascended, and here's the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you've seen.
Yeah.
And this was going to happen before the last, you know, in the last days.
Right.
And it's interesting, too, as he talks about the day of the Lord, which is a day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the great and terrible day of the Lord hasn't come yet.
Right.
And, you know, it could come next week, or it could come in 100 years, or we don't know when it's going to come.
Right.
But it's, you know, called the great and terrible day, because it's going to be something that's never been experienced before and won't be experienced afterwards. But there was kind of a version of this when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed.
Right.
And you're probably all familiar with the historian Josephus that the Romans hired to write a history of the Jews. You know, he wrote that before Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, there were all kind of signs that were going on. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned some when we did the Passover shows, and you know, things were happening in the temple and things were happening in the city, and there were comets, and there were all kinds of signs in the sky, and these were warnings. Because here was the place where God had put his name.
Yeah.
The temple. In the Temple Mount, God had put his name. And the priests were there. The high priest was there. The temple was there. And now this was going to be extinguished. Because Jerusalem, which is his city, the Messiah had died there. And for the most part, the city had rejected him.
Yeah.
And so now judgment was going to come on the city. Roni, Roni. This is a great song. You can learn a little Hebrew, too.
Yes.
If you listen to this song.
Roni, rejoice.
We'll be right back with the last segment in just a minute. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. For the Lord has taken your punishment, destroyed your enemy. King of Israel, Lord of all the sea, in the midst of us, he is mighty. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Rejoice with
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We were just talking during the break, but of course, since Roni Roni was playing, we were also dancing around the studio.
Yes.
But anyway.
So, how many chapters are in your book of Joel?
I've got three.
I have four.
You got four. Anyway. We have two different translations here, two different versions.
Yes.
And during our 8 hours of rehearsal, we didn't,
catch that.
Actually, we had about 8 seconds of rehearsal, as we normally do.
We apologize to you, our listeners.
We normally just let the Spirit direct what we're doing, but
that was really different.
He didn't tell us that one. Anyway, the wording is important. The chapters and verses, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I forgot where we were. Oh, yeah. So, so there were all these warnings when Jerusalem was destroyed, which is pretty amazing, too. And, you know, as we see in the book of Revelation and other places, you know, there's going to be a lot of warnings when the great and terrible day of the Lord comes.
And Jesus prophesied and said that the whole city will be left desolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And interestingly, as Peter talks about this and talks about how these things were going to happen, and there was going to be day of judgment. There was going to be this day of the Lord coming. He then adds that those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Redemption.
Yes. So he's talking about there's a way out of this. Mm-hmm. You call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Now, saved, you know, he's talking about you escape eternal condemnation, which is the ultimate saved.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, he's also referring to these people that are in this place where judgment is going to come.
Right.
You know, you, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved.
Right.
Even if you somehow, you know, or die during all of this, you're going to be saved.
Yeah.
And this was quite an announcement to make to these people.
Well, you know, quite an announcement and quite a transformation. We talk about Peter's transformation here and all the other disciples that were in the upper room, their transformation. You think,
yeah,
before Jesus ascended, they're asking, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom
exactly
to Israel? And we talk about Peter a lot of times that he was, you know, he would make comments that Jesus would have to rebuke him.
Yeah.
Now he's preaching the message of salvation and repentance.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just,
yeah,
amazing.
Totally transformed.
Totally transformed.
Yeah. And we presume the other people were doing this
too. No calling down fire and saying, right, you know, get all these guys because you guys did this.
That's
you're
right
out of here.
That's right.
You know, just an amazing transformation,
yes,
by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And we only have recorded what Peter says. The other ones are preaching too.
Right.
They're all praying in tongues. And
mm-hmm,
of course, some of them are doing music and playing minor chords,
playing
and
Roni,
dancing
Roni
around and doing Roni Roni. Hey. And some of them are on other street corners preaching. Some were, yeah, taking up a collection. No, not yet.
Okay.
But the interesting thing was now with this other thing that comes from Joel chapter, well, either 2 or 3, depending which version you have.
Oh, no.
But we have to see, the prophet Joel himself didn't know how many chapters he had because there weren't any chapters then. He
They were worried about chapters back then.
No, he just wrote it on a scroll. I mean, he sat down in his little tent and with his word processor wrote this all up, and then later somebody divided it up.
Mm-hmm.
But the important point here that follows from what you just said is now the Holy Spirit's going to be at work in the church.
Yes.
This is how things are going to go from now on. Messiah's mm-hmm come. Messiah's been sacrificed. Messiah's risen. Messiah's ascended to heaven. He's interceding at the right hand. There's not going to be any other messiahs.
Right.
Now the Holy Spirit is going to direct the church, empower the church, embolden the church, bring teaching, revelation, and this is how things are going to work from now on.
Yeah.
Jesus had told them, I have to go so that the Spirit will come.
Right.
This is another sign, another confirmation that he was Messiah.
Yeah.
He went, and then the Spirit came.
Another fulfillment of what was
right
prophesied.
So when you heard him say, I have to leave because after I leave, the Spirit's going to come. Then they see him leave. And then 9 days later, they see the Spirit come. They say, whoa,
mm-hmm,
all that stuff he said is really true.
Right.
And the Spirit, of course, reminds them that what he said was true. But now they see that they're working under a different dispensation, a different government, a different way of doing things. And even our friend Peter is now going to be a person of authority who's going to be filled with the Spirit, is going to teach, he's going to preach, and he's going to advance the kingdom,
yeah,
whether he's been to seminary or Bible school or not.
Yeah, I mean, they're ministering under the power of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are just radically transformed.
Yeah.
Just radically transformed.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It is.
That's why I think Peter's the best example.
Well, yeah, because of all of everything that happens to Peter in the Gospels, there is so many things that people can relate to,
mm-hmm,
that we can relate to, because we fall, we deny Christ,
mm-hmm,
and yet God still chooses to use us,
yes,
just like he chose to use Peter.
Exactly.
In a very powerful way.
Yes.
And in ministry, it's important to, if you fall, seek forgiveness,
mm-hmm,
seek repentance,
yes,
ask for forgiveness, and ask the Lord for restoration,
yes,
and move on and keep on proclaiming the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because none of us is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think we're going to wait until we're perfect to proclaim the gospel,
right,
well, we're not going to, and it will never happen because we're not going to be perfect on this earth.
Yeah. And as we see, Jesus told them, wait for the coming of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way this is going to manage. Yeah. The only way you're going to be able to do this. There's no way you're going to be able to preach the gospel on the corner, let alone through the whole world.
Yeah. Because if I was doing it by my own power, then I can boast about it.
Oh, exactly. Plus, you never get anywhere.
Yeah.
And we can make handouts and we can write music and we can start Bible studies. But if we're just doing it on our own, it's not going to have the power.
Right.
And he told them this. And we've talked many times on our show how weak human beings are used in ministry. I mean, look at Moses says, no, I can't go. I can't talk.
Right.
Pharaoh's not going to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just go. I'm going to be with you.
Right.
Joshua says, well, what am I supposed to do with all this? I can't. I'm going to be with you. Gideon says, how am I can't be a mighty warrior. I can't defeat these Midianites or whoever they were. Says, God says, I'm going to be with you. And on and on and on and on. Till the Great Commission when Jesus says, well, you know what? The Spirit's going to come and then you're going to do it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times in our culture, we like to think we're strong, we're powerful, and, you know, we got this under control, but God, you know, Scripture clearly tells us that God chooses the weak to confront the strong or the proud of the world. And, you know, if I'm working for the kingdom, in a lot of ways, I'm probably weak, and it's by the power of God that he makes me able to do that. He enables me to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't get any ministry done if you just do it on your own.
No. Because scripturally, even it says that unless God builds the house, you're
going to
labor in vain.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe it.
Did we finish all your notes?
No. Are you kidding? We never do.
We'll have to pick back up next week.
Yeah, 3-hour show. Anyway. This is Gift of Grace Ministries, and it's been great being with you. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Amen. And we will be back here next week to proclaim God's kingdom, and have an awesome Lord's week, or have an awesome week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.